Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
If the bishops are being partisan, then we don't have to listen to them. If the bishops are being partisan, that means they're being unreasonable. But the fact is that the church didn't decide to defend human life because it's inconvenient for Democrats.
Everything we do in worship communicates theologically. So the real question then is what theology is being communicated through what's done in worship.
Instead of accepting the word of God, it is very tempting to twist the obvious meaning into something that sounds more gospel-y.
As Lutherans, we emphasize the distinction between law and gospel, but it should not be understood as it's the law versus the gospel, as in the law is bad, the gospel is good.
Lutherans living below the Mason-Dixon line love Issues Etc.
No doubt about it, what I love about the South. What I love about the South. If you need a Dixie fix.
For almost two decades now, it has been the watchword of pop Christianity. It has a lot of synonyms, but it all boils down to purpose. I think it started with, well, The Purpose-Driven Life, that very popular book that just swept across American Christianity, and it raised the question, God has a purpose for your life. That even dates far back before that book. God has a purpose for your life, and your goal in life is to find that purpose, and once you found it, then you found everything else. You find happiness, contentment. You have your purpose in life. And it's one that's, by the way, reinforced by a secular way of thinking about ourselves. Everybody believes they have some kind of purpose or plan. You could leave God out of it, for that matter. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live on this Friday afternoon, November the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to start out this week with pop Christianity, talking about Andrew Womack's teaching of God's perfect plan for your life. He'll talk a lot about that purpose as well. Pastor Chris Rosebro will be our guest. We'll spend some time with Pastor Ted Geese discussing the movie The French Dispatch, a very interesting director of this film. You probably know some of those. And then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can wait and vote live, 1-877-623-MYIE, or you can listen and vote in advance those sound bites at facebook.com/issuesetc. Send us your email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. It's your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Ad Crucem baptismal keepsake, an Issues Etc. pin, bumper sticker, notepad, and a tote bag. We'll play in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Joining us for This Week in Pop Christianity today, Andrew Womack's teaching on God's perfect plan for your life. Pastor Chris Rosebro, he's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
How common is this emphasis on God's unique, complete, perfect plan for your life in pop evangelicalism?
It is absolutely pervasive. If you remember back a decade and a half ago, the big fad that ran through the church, Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and then the Purpose-Driven Church, we're almost two decades since he wrote that book. And the best way I can put it is that this has become the doctrine that has replaced the emphasis that used to be in evangelicalism on repentance and holiness and actually understanding God's will for our life in light of the Ten Commandments. This has become the substitute for that. And when people are catechized, they don't use the term. Like when you go to the pastor's introduction class to the basics of Christianity, this is the doctrine that has replaced anything related to Christian sanctification.
Who is the subject of our conversation today, Andrew Womack?
Yeah, so Andrew Womack, he is a, I like to consider him like the elder statesman and kind so-called face of the word faith heresy. He's one of these fellows who believes that your words create reality, and you know, rather than being kind of the crazy-eyed and overtly greedy fellow that somebody like Kenneth Copeland is or Benny Hinn, Andrew Womack is in the same theological camp that they are, but he's you know, far more, you know, kind of slower pace, has a Southern accent, a little bit of a hint of one, or maybe a Texas accent. He's kind of like the Mr. Rogers kind face of the word faith heresy.
So what are we going to hear from him first?
So we're going to listen to the beginning of a series that he did on finding God's will for your life. And so in soundbite number one, he's going to set the table and make the case, and we'll have to do some comparative work, that there is a perfect plan that God has for each and every one of us.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of The Gospel Truth. Today, I am really excited to start sharing with you about how to find, follow, and fulfill God's will. I've got a book on this. This has been out quite a while, and I have seen lots of people's lives touched through this. And my own personal testimony is that this is what got me to seeking the Lord. And I'm going to be sharing a lot of things, but I'm excited about this because I really believe, and I'm going to be giving you scriptures to verify everything I say, but just as a way of introduction, I believe that God has a perfect plan for every single one of you. I know that based on the Word of God. And I also know that most people are not really doing what God has called them to do. They let life kind of control them and just push them in whatever direction. It's kind of like water, you know, that just always seeks the lowest level. Whatever's the easiest is what most people go for. But God's will for your life is never going to be the easy thing to do. It's going to be something you have to pursue. If you don't pursue it, you won't get it. But God has a purpose for every single one of you. And I tell you, it's only when you discover that purpose that you will really find true satisfaction, joy, and peace. And I'm saying this in love here, but there are some people watching this program that you are dissatisfied and you're trying to use everything that you know from God's Word to rejoice and to be happy, and yet you're dissatisfied. You just can't figure it out. Sometimes it's because you know, you just take your eyes off of the Lord and stuff. But some of you are seeking the Lord and are still dissatisfied. And one of the reasons is because you aren't in that spot that God has for you. There is such a thing as a holy dissatisfaction. And this is one of the ways that God motivates you towards fulfilling His will, is that you just won't find that true happiness and peace and satisfaction until you are in the center of God's will.
Okay, first question, how is this just not a retread of the purpose-driven life?
I can't say that it isn't. That's the point. It really is. And you know, 15 years down the line, you can see that this doctrine has just taken over any kind of a concept that evangelicalism has regarding sanctification and what God's will is. And I would note here that if you go back and listen to, I'm not saying we're going to do that, but if you go back and you listen to what he just said, he specifically says that many people are not doing what God wants them to do, and he's not in any way referring to people breaking the Ten Commandments. He's not talking about idolatry. He's not talking about blasphemy. He's not talking about dishonoring our parents or not murdering our neighbor or committing adultery or stealing or lying and slandering them or coveting. He's not talking about that at all. The very objective standards by which true Christian good works are defined. Instead, he's talking about some nebulous, hard to define, but you've got to pursue it. And if you don't pursue it, you won't get it. Specific purpose and plan that God has for you. And it's unbelievable when you think about it, but that's just how far off the rails evangelicalism has gone.
Secondarily, and I think you've made a great case for this being a substitute for a biblical view of sanctification, this has to be just completely exhausting to say God can reveal anything he wants. He's all powerful, but he can't tell you what your purpose is flat out so you can live it. You have to figure it out.
Well, and it's always a little bit more than that. And see, that's the thing. When you lose sound biblical exegesis and you no longer listen to God's word as to how to properly understand it or divide it, then you're always going to end up commingling law and gospel, or the gospel just gets papered over altogether. As a result of it, in subsequent episodes of this series that Andrew Womack did, he specifically points out that people have to obey specific steps in a particular order before God will have certainty that they're serious about knowing and fulfilling their specific purpose. And so there comes in a very overt form of legalism that basically says that the people who know what their purpose are, they earned that. They merited God giving them, whispering in their ear and telling them what their purpose was by following particular steps.
Are we going to get to some steps here in the course of our, or is he just going to continue to diagnose this problem? I've heard a lot of sermons like this. And it's a lot of, you got to find your purpose, and they don't tell you anything about how to find it.
Well, in his particular case, he's selling a book, Todd. I mean, you got to send in your seed offering, you know, and once it hits a particular giving threshold, then he'll send you his book, which explains how you can find your purpose. You know, and of course, I'm 53 years old. I think it's a little late for that. It's like, yeah, I have a few years left on the car before it's time to retire it. But you'll note that this is not what Scripture says. And I think a good comparative point would be, for instance, Ephesians chapter 2, which specifically says that in verse 10, that we are God's workmanship. And listen to these words. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, plural. And it's, you know, it's ergois agathois. It's plural. Good works, plural, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so when somebody is setting off to go and follow what somebody like Andrew Womack says, I've got to go and learn my purpose. I've got to merit God giving me that whisper in the ear to finally learn what my purpose is. Scripture gives it to you for free right out in the open. And says that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, plural. And then you'll note that toward the end of the epistle itself in Ephesians, our good works are laid out for us. And it explicitly says that this is the will of God for us, that we're faithful to our spouse, that we're good parents, that we're good employees or good employers. And so our good works are defined for us according to the Ten Commandments. And put into the context of the vocations that we are already in as husband, wife, a father, mother, child, employer, employee. It's all laid out for us, and it doesn't require you to send in a seed offering or buy Andrew Womack's book. It's right there in the book of Ephesians. And you can read the Bible for free on the internet, you know. So
we're talking about Andrew Womack's teaching on God's perfect plan for your life. It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith. We'll hear more from Womack on that perfect plan next. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Saving faith is a living, creative, active, and powerful thing, Martin Luther writes. How can it not be? It is created by our loving God through his living words and life-giving deeds. Living Faith Lutheran Church is located at 1171 Atlanta Highway in Cumming, Georgia. Come train in God's Word with us for the baptized life in our adult catechumenate. Find out more on the web at livingfaithlutheran.com.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking with Pastor Chris Rosemarow of Fighting for the Faith about Andrew Womack's teaching on God's perfect plan for your life. So, Chris, what are we going to hear next from Womack?
So what's coming up next is we're going to hear more of him talking about this holy dissatisfaction and kind of pressing into embracing the idea that God has a very specific and unique special plan for you.
There is such a satisfaction and a joy that comes of knowing that you aren't just doing your thing and asking God to bless it, but to know that you are doing exactly what God created you to do is something that defies explanation. You just nearly have to experience it. And there's some of you watching this program right now that you love God. You're born again. You're seeking God. You're asking God to use you and to bless you, and you're trying to live a Christian life and influence other people. And there's still a dissatisfaction in your life. And I believe there's multiple reasons, but one big reason is because many of you aren't exactly where God called you to be. My personal testimony is that when God has revealed His will to me, it has never been the easy thing to do. It's like I have to see it and then I have to pursue it, and Satan marshals all of his forces against me. As we go through this series, I'm going to be using a lot of personal testimonies and I'll share stories with you, but I tell you, Satan has done everything he could to stop me from fulfilling God's will in my life. It hasn't been easy. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's terrible. But I'm just saying it's a fight. It's worth the fight. The victory is well worth the fight. But doing God's will isn't the easiest thing. And I believe that most people have just let circumstances in this life dictate to them and control their things. Many people, you know, their future was planned for them by their parents, and they did what was expected of them, took over the family business, which if that's what God wants you to do, that's just fine. But I'm saying sometimes people have plans for you and you just head in that direction, like a sheep to the slaughter, not realizing that God has a special plan for every single one of you.
Okay, I got to ask, is this also related to, what do you call it, the divine destiny thingy?
Yeah, the dream destiny thingy doctrine. That's what we've called it in the past. This is a version of it, the dream destiny thingy. You know, you can't nail it down. It's very nonspecific. It's different for each purpose, each person. And the way he talked, it reminds me. Do you remember that claymation special every year that would come on when we were younger? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. There was an elf by the name of Hermie. And Hermie didn't want to make toys. Hermie wanted to be a dentist. And so the entire plot, you know, main plot is that Hermie is a misfit elf because he doesn't want to follow in the footsteps of the elfin family business. And I found it fascinating that Andrew Womack specifically said, you know, you may have been raised to take part in the family business and you've gone down that path. And he said these words, like a sheep to the slaughter. And I just have to crack up because the idea that somehow there's somebody out there, God intended for them to completely radically change the world. And rather than change the world, they're changing diapers. And one has to ask, has that person been led like a sheep to the slaughter? It's strange to talk about it this way, but I would note that this is an extremely seductive doctrine because it is very flattering to the inner narcissist that each of us has in our old sinful Adam, our old sinful nature. We want to believe that we are special, that we were created with some major plan to change the whole world, and we get dissatisfied with the ordinary, serving our neighbor in love and vocation and living in suburbia and having nothing exciting happen except for maybe you have somebody stole a package off of your porch after Amazon delivered. That's about the greatest excitement that you have in your life. And you just think there's got to be more. But the reality is that you're already doing your good works in your vocation as a Christian. And guys like Andrew Womack take your eyes off of the real good works that were created in Christ to do. And you become dissatisfied with all the real things that God has called you to do. And you despise them while seeking after this nebulous whatever purpose thing is that's out there for you.
If you do the math, Chris, if God created every person with a unique world-changing destiny and purpose, the world would be a pretty chaotic place because everyone would be changing it. Why the focus on this kind of, it's going to change the world, or you're going to do something big in your life, and the only reason you haven't done it is because you haven't found it yet? Like, maybe I might be missed my calling as a world-class figure skater. I could be at the Olympics right now.
Yeah, but what were you thinking?
But the sad thing about that scenario, Chris, is that that boat has sailed, just like with you.
Yeah.
I'm older than you are, and I can't go back and find that purpose. No. I'm not going to go to the Olympics, and I might go to hell for it. Who knows?
Consider the implications here. I mean, you're going to stand before Jesus one day, and Jesus is going to look at you and go, Wilkin, you were supposed to be a gold medal Olympic figure skater.
Where's your gold medal, Wilkin?
Where is it, Wilkin? This is what I created you for. And one has to wonder, if one doesn't achieve their purpose, this nebulous thing, what are the consequences of it? Do you end up in hell? Your eternity is lesser because of this? But you kind of ask the question, why is this? This is like the best way I can put it. This is a great fulfillment of what Paul prophesied in 2 Timothy 4, that a time would come when people wouldn't endure sound doctrine. But having itching ears, they'll gather to themselves teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. And Andrew Womack is doing that. I mean, anybody who buys into this is, inherently well focused in on themselves. And rather than denying themselves, taking up their cross, humbling themselves, serving their neighbor in love as a living sacrifice. No, everything revolves around, I've got to find this purpose. I've got to achieve this purpose. I've got to, and I'm going to go and change the world. And it's a pipe dream. This whole thing is a demonic delusion that makes you really catechized into the thinking of Satan, where it says about Satan in Isaiah 14, I will ascend the highest heights. All the nations will bow down to me. I will be like the Most High. Yeah, that's what the devil's all about. And this is just utterly demonic, a catechism into demonic thinking, if you really boil it down.
We're talking with Pastor Chris Rosebro of Fighting for the Faith about Andrew Womack's teaching on God's perfect plan for your life. Next, he'll discuss a unique purpose.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Mark with The Lord's Supper, The Shepherd Struck, Prayer in Gethsemane, Betrayal and Arrest, and Jesus Before the Council, Part 1. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is a series of sermons written by a Lutheran pastor during a late 16th century plague. The book is titled The Joy of Eternal Life by Pastor Philip Nicolai. The Joy of Eternal Life is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Find your own hope and comfort in knowing that eternal life waits for you with the new book, The Joy of Eternal Life.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Concordia University, Wisconsin is a Lutheran higher education community committed to helping students develop in mind, body, and spirit for service to Christ in the church and in the world. Concordia seeks a postdoctoral researcher to participate in the LIGO experiment and streamline the discovery of multi-messenger astrophysical events. This position requires a PhD in physics or astronomy, computational experience, and an interest in Concordia's mission. Find more information at cuw.applicantpro.com/jobs.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is it hard? Yes. Will it challenge you? Absolutely. Is it a blessing from God for you and those you will serve? Without question.
Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The pastoral ministry is all of these things, and that's why Concordia Theological Seminary exists, to form servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Men from all over the world with a variety of unique backgrounds come to our campus to receive faithful training that will equip them for the challenging but blessed work of serving as pastors in Christ's church.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Christ-Centered Worship, Confessional Theology, Lutheran Community, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
It's a leech. It's a parasite. It cannot stand on its own. It doesn't build anything on its own. It latches onto existing institutions and ruins them.
All the works would amount to nothing. You know, there was nothing more that I could do because, again, I'm a poor, miserable sinner, and everything had already been done for me.
I understand being skeptical of these institutions, but being skeptical of institutions shouldn't mean being skeptical of truth claims.
The knowledge, right, that Christ himself willingly comes into and takes on the sins of the world. I just remember how striking that was, getting on the plane and returning, just kind of with that knowledge. It just never had felt so real before. I don't think it ever has, just because I don't think you have many of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities to kind of experience something like that.
1 hour from now, we're going to be playing those four sound bites in their entirety. And after we have played them, you will pick which one is Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can listen and vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Send us a vote via Twitter at issuesetc. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or wait and vote live at 4:30 Central today, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 1 hour from now. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith about Andrew Womack's teaching of God's perfect plan for your life. What's next from Womack for us here, Chris?
So what's coming up next is his attempt to give us biblical text to prove that we have a unique purpose, and we'll unwind this at the end of it.
First thing I want to do is just show you from Scripture that God has a plan for your life. You aren't an accident. Whether your parents knew you were coming or not, God knew you were coming, and God created you with a purpose. Look at these verses, and I'm going to be using a lot of them. I'm not sure I'll get to all of these on today's program, but I want you to think about this, that you didn't just happen. God had a purpose for you before you were even created. Look at these verses in Psalms chapter 139 and beginning with verse 14. It says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eye did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, which as yet there was none of them. Now, this is the King James, and this is really awkward. It's not the way we talk today. I don't have a problem with that. I've studied it out. But this verse where in the King James it says, and in thy book all my members were written. I forget the exact wording in the NIV, but it's like all of the God's plans for your days were written out before you were even born. When you were still in your mother's womb, God had a purpose for your life. Paul said this same thing. Let me turn over and read this out of Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. It says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. So right here is Paul again saying that God called him and separated him unto the gospel from his mother's womb. Now, this does not mean just because God had written in his book what he planned for your life to be, and then like Paul, he was separated from his mother's womb. That doesn't mean that it's automatically going to come to pass. This isn't God just sovereignly controlling your life. And a lot of people really believe that fate, or they will, if you're religious, you'll call it the sovereignty of God. If you're non-religious, you'll just call it fate. But you believe that everything just automatically works out the way it's supposed to be.
Okay, first of all, does the passage that he quoted there say what he says it says?
No, it doesn't. So there were two specific Bible twisting techniques that Andrew Womack was engaging in. One is called proof texting, where the idea is you begin with your conclusion first, and then you go hunting in the scriptures to find biblical text that you can string together out of context and say, see, that proves what I was saying is true. Yeah, that's not how hermeneutics and exegesis works. You have to begin with the biblical texts themselves. And if the doctrine is really in there, then the text will say it clearly. So neither of the texts that he quoted, none of them actually said what he said regarding finding a unique purpose. And then he read into those texts, eisegesis, this idea that, God has a purpose, but you can run away from it. You've got, it's up to you to do all these things. And none of those texts said those things. But there's, if you want to really unpack this, it's far less spectacular. But there's another true technique for reading scripture, and that is that clear passages always govern unclear. And I would note the passage he quoted from the King James, very unclear. But the Apostle Paul gives us, again, back in Ephesians 2:10, a great cross-reference in context to what he was talking about in Galatians 1. It is absolutely true that God set apart the Apostle Paul to be an apostle. This is most certainly true. In the same way, he set aside Jeremiah for the prophetic work that Jeremiah was doing. But that doesn't mean that we all have a unique purpose, singular. That same Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so you'll note that the Apostle Paul, who wrote Galatians, makes it very clear what Christian sanctification is, and that's to walk in good works. That's, so it's to serve our neighbor in love sacrificially as defined by the Ten Commandments and then put into the context of the different vocations we have. And so you'll note that the doctrine that he is pointing to or that he's created is not actually taught by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul teaches something quite different than what he does. So just merely pointing out that Paul was set aside for the gospel, actually, it's real clear that preaching the gospel and suffering the way he did were the very good works or part of the good works that God had prepared for Paul to do even before he was created.
A final cut from Andrew Womack.
So now we're going to hear from Andrew Womack, specifically kind of what we had already alluded to, that you can miss this unique purpose. You can miss it.
God's plan, He has a plan for your life, but He doesn't force that plan upon you. You have to cooperate with Him. And Paul is a great example because he said he was separated unto the gospel from his mother's womb. But did you know we don't know exactly how old he was when the Lord appeared to him in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts on the road to Damascus to persecute the Christians. But let's just suppose he was 30 or 40 years old, something like that. For those first 30 years, he was not pursuing God's will. He actually was becoming a religious Pharisee, and he talked about all the things he did, how that he persecuted the Christians and even consented and testified against them to their death. You know that that wasn't God's will for his life, and yet he said God separated him unto the gospel from his mother's womb. He felt this calling. He felt this desire to be serving God, and so he just plugged into the religious system and worked his way up through it, was trained under the greatest rabbi of his day, Gamaliel, and he became a religious Pharisee because he felt that call, he felt that anointing, but he didn't pursue it the way God wanted. And that's the reason that in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, God arrested him on the road to Damascus and totally changed his life. But it shows, see, that there was a purpose for his life, but he had a choice and he made some wrong choices and just followed the way that everybody else was doing it until he had this supernatural encounter with the Lord. So I'm saying that even though, like in Psalms 139, that God has written out in His book what your life is supposed to be, even though God has done that, you've got a choice. And you can either cooperate, you can rebel at God, or you can just let circumstances in life push you in a certain direction, and you can miss God's perfect plan for your life.
Does Paul's road to Damascus experience prove that God has this perfect plan for every individual's life that we need to find?
No, and you'll note that the narrative that he wove around it is nowhere found in Scripture. He specifically said that Paul felt a calling and an anointing on his life. That's why he pursued becoming a Pharisee, but that was not God's will, so Jesus had to arrest him and kind of put him on the right path. No biblical text says that. There is not one text in Scripture that says the Apostle Paul, by feeling his call on his life, pursued it incorrectly by becoming a Pharisee. No text says this. And you'll note that what he's saying here about being in rebellion, and that was an important word that Womack used. He used the word rebellion, but in Scripture, and I mean throughout the biblical text, rebellion and apostasy are clearly defined along the terms of idolatry, sexual immorality, injustice, mistreating your neighbor, stealing from him under the pretense of doing right. You read somebody like Jeremiah, or you even read Christ in this regard. Nowhere in Scripture is anyone rebuked by God and told that they are in rebellion because they were not properly pursuing God to learn what their unique purpose was. And so at the end of the day, this is akin to a snipe hunt. The cruel thing that we do to kids, you take them on a snipe hunt, tell them to go hunt and find that snipe. And they never can seem to figure out where they are. But, tell them, oh, he's over there in that bush. He's over there. And never can find him. This is like the equivalent of a snipe hunt when it comes to sanctification, because what he's saying isn't it found in the biblical text. And what he is avoiding preaching here is what the Bible specifically teaches regarding repentance, offering ourselves as living sacrifices to God, bearing fruit and keeping repentance in love to God, as well as love to neighbor in the good works that Christ has called us to do. And that's where rebellion is when we rebel against what God has commanded us and shown his will to be in the Ten Commandments.
In a minute, then, in a nutshell, what does God's Word teach about God's plan for the lives of His children?
So God wills for you to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. The problem is you don't. I don't. And therefore, we need to be forgiven because of this, because we've rebelled against God in thought, word, deed, by the things we've done, by the things we've not done. And so, first and foremost, what God wills for us to do is to believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And then humbly, through the power of the Holy Spirit, put to death what is sinful and earthly in us, and in love, serve our neighbors in our vocations that we have been given by God, the vocation of husband, wife, father, mother, child, employer, employee. These are where our good works are done. And this is what God wills for you to do. He doesn't need you to go find some nebulous purpose. He's laid all this out clearly in black and white in the Scriptures.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He is creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link to Fighting for the Faith at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Chris, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
Folks, if you appreciate This Week in Pop Christianity with Chris Roseborough, please ask your confessional Lutheran church to become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000 to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc., we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Don't wait. Most congregations prepare their budgets for the next calendar year in November and December. For more information, download an informational flyer on the support donate page at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. We will be reviewing the movie The French Dispatch with Pastor Ted Geese next. If you plan to do some online Christmas shopping on Amazon, you can help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Just go to smile.amazon.com, sign into your Amazon account, enter Lutheran Public Radio into the charitable organization search field, and click Select. A percentage of your purchase will be donated to Issues Etc. Smile.amazon.com and choose Lutheran Public Radio. Thanks for your support.
Usually in the Lutheran Witness, we have a theme for the issue. Well, the November issue of the Lutheran Witness brings you something unique. We have broken the mold, done something new. Well, not all that new in the world of magazines. We have brought you a magazine that does not have a theme. We asked our readers to submit articles, and from the 72 articles that were submitted, we culled it down to the 7 best articles that help you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective. So to get your copy, visit cph.org/witness or our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love of truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your will. Bear us to what it seems to us.
The 21st century.
What's my heart wants to reach us.
the best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.